The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear audience of RIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagar.
One of the concepts that we have in the Holy Quran, I believe it is repeated, is the concept of dhikr.
One thing that needs to develop in us, and we need to get that going, is to get ourselves to be in that state of dhikr, constant dhikr. The heart being there. The heart constantly being in the form, in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah, even though this tongue may be saying something completely. How do we move in that direction? How do we try to acquire that condition? There is a there's steps of dhikr that need to be taken. Right? These are dhikr needs to get to a point where the heart is consistently in the state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's like if you compare that, or if we use the parable of climbing a mountain, that's the peak of the mountain. That's where you would want to get to. We're way down here. We may even not have started moving up. We're still in the lowest point of the valley before even starting uphill to go up the mountain. But that's where we're headed. That's the climax, that's the peak, that's where you want to arrive at. There's steps to take in dhikr. What are the steps? The first step that we have the Ahlul Bayt mention in this way, because the Quran mentions it in different ways. One hadith we have, I forget the chapter in Al-Kafi, we have it, I believe it's in, I'm not sure which chapter. It's in the first two volumes, I'm not sure if it's Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr or one of the others. I think it's in Kitab al-Iman wal-Kufr. There's a section on dhikr, but there's other chapters as well. I'm not sure, but it's in the first two volumes. Anyway, the Imam encourages everyone to be in the state of dhikr. Then he says, I don't mean subhanallah and la ilaha illallah. Rather, what I mean is remembering Allah in regards to His halal and haram. Anything I want to do, remember, did God say this is okay? Did He say it's forbidden? Did He say it's wajib? What did He say about this? Make sure you do your wajib and make sure you avoid haram. When you're speaking, avoid backbiting. Identify what it is, what ghibah is, what the other sins of the tongue are. When you're speaking, before you say it, is God pleased with this or not? Is this something that He has allowed me to say? Or is it not? If He's allowed me to say it, I'll say it. If He hasn't allowed me, I don't say it. Before I do it, remember Allah, make sure. This is a basic, this is the most basic form of dhikr. This is the first step of dhikr. If anyone is unwilling to take this step of dhikr, they're not willing to be careful and think of Allah before doing anything, before starting a business, before making a transaction, before buying something, before selling something, before talking to someone, before marriage, before whatever. If I'm not willing to remember, He is the Lord. He tells me what I'm allowed to do, what I'm not allowed to do, what I must do, what I'm recommended to do, and whatever else. Focus being what I am forbidden of doing and what is wajib. I have to be careful of those. That's the first level of dhikr. If I'm not willing to do that, it doesn't matter how many times I repeat subhanallah. I'm practically going against subhanallah. When that time of remembering he, when I say subhanallah, it means he is God and no one else is God. That's what I say. And then in action, God said, don't do this. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. So I am God. It's never going to happen. Never going to develop the higher stages of dhikr. This is one thing that we need to constantly be careful of. And without this, we can never establish anything above this. This is the foundation. You can't build a structure. It's a type of foundation that you just can't. It's like the pole of the tent, if we may. You can have all the things tied. You're never going to have a standing tent if you don't set that pole up. Okay, you just have everything on the ground. You're never going to have a standing tent. You can have fabric and whatever, but it's not going to be a tent until you put that pole up. Take that pole down, it's all gone. Without this, it's impossible. There's no way. There are many of us that want to take a shortcut. We don't like being careful with this. There's too many cases where we have to sacrifice things that we don't like to. Difficult choices. We don't want to do that. But then we read about these urafa, ulama, this, that, the other. We like to get way up there. And then, okay, let me find where it says what to do. There's this dhikr. If you say this dhikr, it's not going to do anything if this form of dhikr is not done. While we're practicing this, because we're going to fail, we're going to try. And anytime we fail, anytime we go against what God has said, we forget God, we do it afterwards, we remember. We have to do tawbah, we have to do istighfar, remember. When we remember, feel bad, feel guilt, feel regret. And ask God for forgiveness. And tell Him, I don't want to do it, sorry, it slipped my mind, I forgot about this, I got busy with that. Whatever, you know, these are different wordings that we can use. Generally, the idea of repentance and tawbah. That's part of it. We keep doing that, inshallah, we're going to get better and better at that. And the other thing is all these different adhkar that we've been told. It doesn't have to have any number. You don't need to count how many it is. I know some people that would use the tasbih just to, again, the same way that the tongue needs to move for your at a lower stage to be able to get the heart to think of dhikr. The tasbih is just there as a reminder so that, you know, they get busy with something else. They just feel the tasbih, they remember, oh, dhikr, they keep doing it. So they're not really counting how many times they've said this or that. These various adhkar, the second thing we're saying besides that for that dhikr of Allah, when there's halal and haram and wajib and so on and so forth, is that there's plenty of adhkar. And one of the highest forms of dhikr is prayer. There's various prayers as well. Because prayer is a form of dhikr that you're not only saying things, you're also your position, the standing position, the ruku' position, and all of that is there. You need to be in tahara, you need to have wudu for regular dhikr, you don't need to have that. So a climax of dhikr is prayer. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Besides the wajib prayers, which falls under the first category, we said remembering Allah when there's wajib, prayer times comes in, that's wajib. Other salawat, other prayers that we have, all of these prayers have been introduced to us by the Ahlul Bayt. Wallah, there's benefit to them, otherwise the Ahlul Bayt wouldn't introduce us to these forms.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.